Yipper, it's Friday, and we've got a full Friday for you as we head into what some people like to call the last weekend of summer. I don't know that I'm going to go there. I mean, September long weekend, that for many people is school starts after that. We get some nice weather into September too. So let's not close the curtain on summer just yet. Nonetheless, we are Friday morning heading into the weekend, and we've got a full Friday for you on the show. Thank you for joining us. Federal Member of Parliament and Saskatchewan's only Liberal representative in Ottawa, Buckley Belanger, will be joining us to discuss his roles. He's the Secretary of State for Rural Development, how he sees his role as the lone Saskatchewan voice in government. He sat in on the meeting with Premier Mo yesterday, so we'll talk canola tariffs, we'll talk the EV mandate, we'll talk budget cuts, wildfires, and a whole lot more. That's coming up a little bit later on, closer to lunch. Also today, a Saskatchewan actor who has her first movie in the works, the Moose Jaw Product, joins us to discuss her career and what else is on the horizon. And because it's Friday, we have a ton of regular Friday segments. Open lines at 9, Bugs and Hugs at 10, It's Eatin' Time at 11, and then, of course, Green and White Prognostications at noon. Lots on the go. Let's get going. Here is today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome. Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show. The Big Talker.
Well, as we follow along with U.S. politics, the Epstein files continue to be a topic of discussion, stirring debate around power and privilege and accountability. These documents tied to the late financier Jeffrey Epstein and his extensive network of political and celebrity connections raise questions about how the justice system handles the influence of powerful figures. We obviously are seeing pushback from members of the U.S. government, including President Donald Trump himself lately. The Department of Justice announced earlier in July it would not be releasing any more documents regarding the files. So there is so much to unpack here. There's finger pointing from both the Democrats and the Republicans on this. This is a lot to unpack. It's a lot to understand. And that's where my next guest, our first guest this morning, comes in. Daniel Stockemar is a full professor, School of Political Studies, Faculty of Social Sciences, and Konrad Adenauer Research Chair of Empirical Democracy Studies at the University of Ottawa. I've read some articles that Daniel has been quoted in or has written with regard to the Epstein files, conspiracy theories, the MAGA movement, and I am happy to have Daniel Stockemar joining us by phone this morning. Professor, thank you so much for taking the call.
My pleasure.
So the Epstein files continue to dominate headlines. They bubble up, it seems, on a weekly basis. What's the latest on where we're at with these documents?
I mean, apparently today there's some more files released or handed over to Congress because one of the oversight committees requested them. But we still don't know what type of files, how many, and how much is retracted. But today is actually the second time where some files will be handed over. But I don't have more information about that. So it's a good coincidence to talk about the files today.
Yeah. We've seen some of the documents unsealed over the last little while. There doesn't seem to have been any smoking guns uncovered in certainly what's been released so far, would you say?
I agree with 100%, but there's also a lot retracted. So, I mean, of what's released, it's like flight tickets, very general information. But, we have very little information how big these files are. Maybe we should say what these files are. So these files are, there have been two criminal investigations against Epstein, one in 2008, when he was accused to have molested a 14-year-old girl. And 2019, when some naked pictures and other things of minors are found in his apartment. So, and there were two investigations, and these investigations triggered a lot of documents. And so the MAGA movement and the Democrats asked for the release of these documents, but we don't know how big these files are. We don't know what's in there. And then there was the first release in February. I think this were around 340 pages, but most of it was retracted, and what we saw was very general information. And today there are some documents Congress will see. How much they will release to the public, remains to be seen. In theory, both the Democrats and the Republicans on the committee can release them, but what they will do, we don't know. So that's just a little bit of an overview, if you don't mind.
Daniel Stuckemar is my guest, the School of Political Studies at the University of Ottawa. So, you know, I'm curious, President Trump promised to declassify the Epstein files if he won a second term. So that was part of the campaign that he ran. It seemed like it was full steam ahead, then a bit of an abrupt change. What do you read into the journey that Trump has been on this issue?
I mean, it's always different if you're in the opposition. You can ask for anything, and if you are in power. And, you know, he might have also realized, this is pure speculation, that his name appears in there at some point, and maybe not in the most positive way. But that might be one of the reasons why he doesn't want to classify them. It's, again, also a different position. When you're in opposition, you're quick to ask something. But when you're in power, things become a little more complicated.
Well, it's interesting to me, Professor, because, of course, there are a lot of staunch MAGA supporters that are Donald Trump supporters that he in recent weeks has called out as radicals and almost dismissed their screams to have these files declassified and released. So in some ways, he's fighting with some of his own loyal supporters on this.
Yeah, well, he has created this wave of distrustful people. I mean, Donald Trump, as we all know, was a mastermind of spreading conspiracies, was a mastermind of blaming what he calls the deep state for hiding bad deeds, for hurting the general American people. And so he's created this deed of distrustful people towards government. And now he's in a bad situation that basically the greed that he has created bites him in the tail and asks him, hey, you promised all of this. We want transparency. We want and now he cannot hide himself as an outsider. He is the head of the state. But it makes it a little difficult. And Donald Trump, when he's attacked, what he does all the time, he attacks back and insults back. That's what we see here. And also, it's very hard for these MAGA supporters. I mean, Donald Trump is their hero. If they let him go or turn the back towards him, who else do they support? It's a very interesting dynamic. But it's also a dynamic that it's not anything politically that the MAGA movement or part of the MAGA movement goes against it. It's some files that are not released, that are not made public. But this reflects the deep distrust these people have towards authority and towards government. And also, you know, I mean, the conspiracy theories behind it is, for example, Epstein didn't commit suicide. Or Epstein was connected. I mean, there's one very, very crazy one that Hillary Clinton ordered somebody to kill Epstein because she was part of the client list and she didn't want her name to be released. So there's some very crazy conspiracies behind it. But this deep distrust, this conspiratorial thinking was nurtured by Trump, and now it hurts him in the tail.
Daniel Stuckemar is my guest, professor, School of Public Studies, or Political Studies, Faculty of Social Sciences at the University of Ottawa. Both the Democrats and the Republicans, and this includes President Trump, have been accused of using this file either as a distraction or trying to distract away from it. We saw President Trump talk about the Obama investigation once that needed to happen when he was asked the question about Epstein. The Washington Redskins football team changing their name. Even the military mobilization in Washington, D.C., some will say is evidence of a political distraction. How do you see this whole thing from a political strategy rolling out? And is it, I mean, we are talking about one case, a fairly high profile case. Is this a distraction? Is this being used as political fodder by both sides?
Well, I mean, I would say it's more used by Trump because it's something that can hurt him. I mean, he was hurt him more than anything else because, again, I mean, his own movement he's created might turn the back towards him. So what he tries to do is put attention to something else, also of his base. And so whether this works or not, I mean, so far we have been talking about these files for months now, not going away. But, I mean, Trump would like it to go away because, I mean, that puts him at odds with his own supporters, And I think, and it's probably the only main file or the only main topic right now that puts him at odds.
Mm-hmm.
So of course he will try to distract as much attention as he can and blame others and hey, you need to trust me. I know what I'm doing. So, I mean, he's trying different appeals. One is like the more like a harsh appeal by saying, hey, you don't know what you're doing. You were my supporters, but no, you don't trust me. You're idiots now. Or the more soft appeal is, hey, look at other things. I mean, if at all in these Epstein files, it was like others who were at fault. It was like Bill Clinton who was in there, or it was like Hillary Clinton or others. So, but I mean, and I think it's very hard. You know, we're talking about counterfactuals. It's very hard to say what Trump would have done if these files weren't there. But it looks like a little bit, I mean, he doesn't want to answer questions about it. He wants to distract attention. So it looks like, yes, he wants to go, he wants the topic to go away.
So, you know, I'm curious, and this is maybe peeling this back to a more broad question. You follow through the work that you do with social sciences and political studies. You follow this sort of public debate often, not just on Epstein, but on many different topics. How today in 2025 can the public be expected to separate credible information from what I'll call distraction information or political spin? Because it is becoming more and more challenging for people to understand what the truth is, where even some of the mainstream media are, of course, being accused of having a political lean in the reporting and what they do. So how can everyday people be expected to decipher the information that they're taking in?
Well, I mean, that's a very good question. I mean, in political science, we call this infotainment. So it's, I mean, we are at a time where, I mean, the borders between spectacular news, between neutral news, between, let's say, politically tainted news, are fluid. And it makes it harder, and it also makes it easier, I mean, in the broader picture, for the spread of misinformation, disinformation, conspiracy, and so on and so forth.
And I mean, with algorithms working the way they do, it becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, I mean,
the more
we expand it further, I mean, think about if we expand it further. The owner of the social media platform is the most used in the world, X or former Twitter. I mean, he's also not a person who has always stuck to the truth. Let's take it that way. He's also a person who has spread conspiracies, other misinformation, also for political purposes. So, of course, it's very hard for the general public, for anyone, including myself, to always separate what's truth, what's sensation, what's tainted truth, what's a little exaggeration, and what's misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
So the borders are fluid now. It's not clear anymore because we have a lot of political theater. I mean, theater, we're also in a very broader picture. We are in this populist era. This populist era means politics needs to be simple. Populist needs to be clearly divided into good and bad. And so it's not... In real world politics is very complex, but this complexity is sometimes, I mean, that's not what people want to hear. That's mm-hmm. not what people want to go. It's not where parties want to go. So we are it's like a show business right now. And of course, it makes it very difficult for, especially because now these fact checking mechanisms are kind of reduced or taken away. It doesn't make it easy for people to really, especially for a file that's politically loaded like Epstein, to really get all the information. I mean, I don't know what's in the files.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what will happen. So how should anyone else know?
Maybe I'll ask you that as we end our conversation. We're right at the end of our time. But Daniel, do you think we'll ever know? Do you think they will open these files up completely?
No, because if there wasn't any information that wouldn't hurt them, they would have already opened them.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Well, we'll leave it there, Professor. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you joining
Thanks
the
for
show
having
today.
Me.
Yeah, you betcha. Professor Daniel Stuckmar, who is a professor at the School of Political Studies, Faculty of Social Sciences, University of Ottawa. This Epstein thing is, you know, interesting. His comments about this push to simplify politics, either into good or bad, very, very dangerous. And we see that's why politics has become so polarized, whether it's in our country, south of the border, because there seems to be little room now in between good and bad, right and wrong on issues. And as you heard the professor talk about, that's a dangerous and slippery slope that we deal with, and especially the advent of social media and how that plays into it has an absolute impact on the information we take in and the way we see certain things as they unfold. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.